A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Words appear. Duplass Brothers Productions. Netflix presents, in association with Duplass Brothers Productions, a film by Jeff Baena. A blue sky and sunlight shines through the branches of a towering tree. Starring Allison Brie, Debbie Ryan, John Reynolds, and Molly Shannon at a craft supply store.
The other day I was watching one of those travel shows on PBS. It was all about Ireland.
Ooh, I would be interested.
It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they were showing videos of people doing that river dance.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
It's so weird. It's like their bodies are so straight and then their legs like go crazy.
It's like the upper half is straight, but the bottom
and
half
bottom is like...
You like that, huh, Sarah?
Yeah.
They probably are so strong.
Mm-hmm.
I should like it because I'm Irish, but I'm not a big fan. Have you ever done DNA in you?
No.
You know, it's that kit where you spit in a tube and you send it away and they can tell you your heritage?
Don't you have to, like... prick your own blood?
No, you don't have to give any blood. You send it away and they give you the results back so fast. And you know, I told you I'm Irish, which I knew about. So I found out I'm 96% Irish, Welsh, and then I'm 3% Finland, Northwest Russia, and then 1% Senegal, Gambia. Do you know where that is?
Mm-mm.
West Africa.
What?
I'm from West Africa. Can you believe it?
That's crazy.
You should do it.
I would try that.
Yeah.
I don't really know anything about my family, but people have said that I look Irish.
You look very Irish.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we're Irish sisters.
Maybe we're Irish West African sisters.
Sarah and her colleague Joan cut fabric.
Yeah, I would try that for sure.
Joan spots a horse on the street outside the store window. Title, Horse Girl.
So these are the acrylic paints that we're carrying right now, and these are all of our tempera paints. I would suggest for a classroom setting always going with the tempera paint. The acrylic is beautiful, and honestly, they're both water-based, they're both non-toxic.
And, like, what's his name?
His name's Ryan.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Sarah talks with a coworker, then assists a customer.
The cleanup with acrylic, I mean, it dries beautifully. It's like with a nice gloss to it, but tempera is my favorite.
He asked me out on a date. We have this little joke where we like write everything on post-it notes to each other. So he put a little note on my locker asking me if I wanted to go out with him.
With the customer.
The consistency now is really more like kind of a pudding, but if you just add a little bit of water, it would be like a heavy cream.
Did you just like find him and show him and tell him yeah? Or like,
I wrote it on the little
note. Wrote it back and put it on his locker?
Sarah leaves through a back door and locks it behind her. She heads to the car and removes a club-style lock from her steering wheel. After, she watches as a girl rides a horse in a corral.
Go ahead and just start her in a circle. Yep, keep going. Nice. Make a wider circle, bring her out a bit. Yeah. Give you some more room to move like that. Nice.
Sarah cocks her head.
It was really good riding today.
Oh, thanks.
I just think you want to keep thinking about your form, you know,
and
your confidence. When you're confident, Willow's confident. She's a really intuitive girl. She can feel your energy, you know? So you want to kind of really be in tune with her. I notice you looking down a lot. You really want to keep your eyes up, look to where you're going. It's going to be so important when you get to jumps.
Oh, well, I'm riding Western, so I'm not going to be doing jumps.
Well, Willow was trained English. I used to ride her English.
I'm just going to stay Western.
She really enjoys that style, and I think you might enjoy it, too.
I think
to have that versatility would be good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to go.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
The young girl runs towards a waiting vehicle, and Sarah watches, then turns and walks away. The riding instructor eyes her from a nearby paddock. After, Sarah pulls her gold compact car into a covered garage and drives into a parking space. She pulls up to a wall of cement blocks and stops the vehicle. She unfastens her seatbelt and puts the lock on her steering wheel. In an apartment, Sarah sits in the living room in her pajamas, braiding string and watching television.
Ecchymosis indicates a struggle. Poor girl. Are you serious?
What? Gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The heebie-jeebies? Darren, you literally just vanquished the demon Skox in a dirty gas station bathroom, and this is too much for you?
That was different.
Different how? And who says heebie-jeebies?
Fine, sorry, geez, I forgot we're not supposed to have feelings.
Sarah chuckles at the TV show.
Proceed. Come. Go ahead.
The actors examine a dead body.
Bingo.
Mark of Hades.
A young woman arrives and smiles.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey.
A young man enters.
Is this purgatory?
Yeah, just unwinding after work. Making an anklet.
Nice. Hey, Brian's new roommate is single. Maybe we could all go out sometime?
Maybe.
Right. Have fun.
You too.
Sarah's roommate, Nikki, leaves the room, and Sarah resumes her television episode.
They drained the Vic's life force.
Come on. Give me a hand. I knew it.
A scryer.
Mm-hmm.
She must have been working for D.
The question is, who's D working for?
On television, fire billows, then the title of the program flashes. Purgatory, created by Lance Dorado. Later, Sarah brushes her teeth in the bathroom mirror. She is wearing a pale blue button-down pajama top. Soon after, in her bedroom, she sets the alarm on her phone for 7 a.m., then settles into bed. She flops on her pillow and pulls up the blankets. Sarah lays on her side in bed and closes her eyes. Later that night, Brian exits Nikki's bedroom and heads to the kitchen, wearing a white tank top and boxer shorts. The light from his cell phone shines on his face. He pours himself a glass of water from a pitcher on the counter. Then chugs from the glass and sets it down. He turns and finds Sarah facing the living room wall.
Sarah. Sarah.
Sarah turns around. Then hurries off. The next morning, Sarah is in the shower. She runs her hands through her brown hair, then braces herself on the shower wall as the water careens over her head. She glances down at the drain. Later, in a graveyard, Sarah is on her knees on the grass in front of a gravestone. She brushes debris off the stone, then gazes at it as the sun shines through the trees and onto nearby grave markers. Sarah picks up a wrapped bouquet of flowers and places it on the stone. She clasps her hands over her knees as she looks down at the stone embedded in the ground. Sarah lifts her head and stares into space, a serious look on her face. She closes her eyes, then opens them. She is wearing jeans and a yellow tank top, and a gentle breeze rustles her shoulder-length brown hair. At work, Sarah dons a smock. Joan holds out a wrapped box.
Happy birthday!
Sarah sets the wrapped rectangular box on a counter and opens an envelope decorated with her name. She reads the birthday card as Joan watches her with a smile on her face. Sarah unwraps the gift.
You didn't!
I did!
Oh!
The box is labeled DNANU. Sarah hugs Joan.
Oh, I can't wait to try it.
So what are you going to do tonight to celebrate?
I think probably I'll just
go out with some friends from my Zumba class.
Joan nods.
You deserve to have fun.
Thanks, Joan.
Sarah's eyes well with tears and Joan walks away. Sarah stows the gift and card in her locker. She gazes at the box before setting it on a shelf. After, she advises a customer on fabrics.
Okay, no, not no. These. I know.
No print. I don't want any print.
Okay, nothing too busy. These are a lot of our warmer colors over here, reds and pinks.
No, I already have red. I don't want red. No.
Or yellows. This is holiday. Don't look at these. The oranges. We have a good orange over here. It's like a marigold.
Not bad.
We have these. We have these nice sort of peachy gold.
It's pretty, but the fabric wrinkles.
It's too wrinkly.
Yeah, it's too wrinkly.
This fabric will never wrinkle. It's a bit darker. It's more of like a brick. Well, you said no red, but...
Oh, this is the color. Yeah, the peach. It has the right energy.
Colors have energy.
Oh, absolutely. All colors have energy. And this is very protective.
It is?
Yeah, it's good for my business, you know. It puts my customers at ease.
Oh, cool.
You know, I have a tarot business. I read cards. Also, I read the Armenian cup. Do you have husband?
No.
No boyfriend?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
You should come see me. I'll give you a discount. Here. This is my card.
Oh, wow.
Rolled paper.
Go ahead, smell it.
Sarah sniffs.
This is protective, too.
Oh, cool.
Thank you.
Yes. So, this one?
Yes. 8 yards.
Sarah measures from the bolt of orange fabric. Later at the horse farm, she watches the girl ride in a covered arena.
A little tighter circle. There you go. Keep your back straight. You're kind of arched up a little bit. There you go. That's pretty good form there. How does it feel? Like you know what you're doing, or is that horse still taking you for a ride?
Yeah, I think I've got her.
You think?
I do.
Oh, good.
Whoa.
There you go.
All right. You done, Lily?
Good work.
Sarah meets the girl.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Hi, Diamond.
The girl leads her horse away.
Hey, Emma, I noticed you were a little distracted today. Here, I'll get that.
Oh.
Just wanted to remind you how important it is to really stay connected to Willow. You know, when you're distracted and looking down and up
yeah.
and around, that's when accidents happen.
I just got a text from my mom, so I'm going to...
Okay, just want to... I'll take her tack off.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, beauty. Could I meet you?
A braid.
You. Is that so pretty? Let's put that in your hair. Let's see. Let's get that right in your oh. Isn't that nice?
Sarah.
So pretty. Hi, Cheryl. Oh, Joe.
Hey.
I just made Willow this lanyard because we have the same birthday. So it's our birthday today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, looks really cool.
But we don't want to keep you. I can get her tack off.
What am I? Can,
that's all right, I got it. Go get yourself some water. You look a little thirsty. Go treat yourself. Okay.
Happy birthday, Willow.
Okay, see ya.
At an exercise class.
Here we go. We're gonna get sexy. Are you ready? Okay.
Sarah participates.
Cha-cha. Back, back, back. Now cha-cha. Back, back, back. Sexy. Come on. Cha-cha. You're sexy. And great time. Hi, cha local.
After class, Sarah collects her bag from a shelf as other participants gather their belongings. She eyes a woman who smiles politely. Sarah approaches the instructor.
Hey, Julie.
Oh, hi.
Thanks for a great class.
Oh, you did such a good job. Good energy.
So what are you up to tonight? Do you have anything going on?
No, I don't know. Might hang out with some friends or, you know.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, I'll see you next week. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Julie hurries off and Sarah frowns. Later, at the apartment, Sarah watches TV.
Please, Agatha, don't. It's me, Darren. Don't listen to him, Agatha. He's just another clone. I'm Darren. The real Darren. No, wait! You're always 10 minutes late. Even if there's no traffic, you always eat dinner at 5 o'clock. Whenever you're nervous, you get a cute little wrinkle in your chin.
Sarah spits in a vial.
Did you just say I was cute?
I meant tiny. I didn't say cute. I didn't mean cute. I meant tiny. He's trying to seduce you. He's an incubus clone.
Quick, Agatha, think. Damn it!
Speak.
Of the devil.
Hades. I should have known.
Tick-tock, doll. You have one silver bullet, two targets, and 3 seconds until the prophecy shall be fulfilled. Now, without further ado...
Sarah, hey.
Let the game...
Nikki arrives.
Hey, you're here. I thought you were going out for your birthday. Oh, those plans just fell through. So you're just gonna hang around here, make more anklets? It's Lanyard. Hey.
Nikki drops her purse and sits beside Sarah.
We should do something to celebrate.
It's okay. It's late.
Yeah, it is.
It's 8:30. Come on, let's celebrate. Why don't you text your roommate? Get him over here.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's probably busy, though, tonight.
Text him.
Yeah.
This will be good. Yay.
Okay.
You want to get dressed?
Okay.
I got options.
Oh, well, I sort of thought I could wear this.
Oh. Yeah, I like the waist. Let's go sexier. Show off your body, you never do that.
Sarah hurries to her closet. She grabs an orange smock dress.
I have this dress that was my grandmother's.
Wow, it's really pretty. I would hate to ruin it. We might get messy tonight. Let's try something more modern. Maybe this?
Okay.
Sarah wears a slim-fitting dress.
It's okay?
Yeah, those are great.
Okay.
Hey, look at me. You look great.
I look okay?
Yeah, I know you look perfect. Keep your bangs swept like that.
Okay.
A young man arrives.
Hey.
What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man?
Good, yeah, how are you?
Okay.
Good.
Super sweet.
Thanks for inviting me.
Sarah, Darren. That's Sarah.
Oh.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Darren.
Oh my God. Why didn't you tell me? I can't believe your name is Darren, like Purgatory.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it, but yeah, I know of it.
It's like the main character's name.
Maybe you don't do that.
It's like my favorite show.
Cool. Yeah.
Do you want a drink?
Yeah, no, that would be great.
We can smoke blunts too.
Yeah, maybe I'll just start with the drink and then see how that goes.
Here you go.
I really like your dress.
Oh, I like your shirt.
Oh, thanks. It's a sweater.
It looks nice.
Thanks. Yeah, it's your dress. It's like a really pretty color.
I noticed we don't have music. We could listen to some of my music.
Yeah, or any music.
No, babe, put your music on. It's so good.
Yeah, it's fire.
Later, Nikki rolls a joint as Brian smokes beside her.
This is the 4th track now.
Yeah, how many more tracks are there?
12 total. That's why I'm calling it a Baker's Dozen. Yeah, it's a concept album.
Right, so don't you mean 13? Is that like a bonus track or something?
Baker's Dozen. Dozen's 12.
Yeah, it's a concept album. Once again, so...
I'm sorry, have you guys ever been to a bakery?
Yeah. Yes, we've been to a bakery.
Then you understand, a Baker's Dozen's 13.
It's a concept album.
I'm not talking about the album, I'm talking about when you go to the bakery and you order 12, like a dozen, to give you the extra one as like a treat, like you did good.
What bakery?
All bakeries.
Oh, I get what you're saying. No, but that's semantics.
Later.
It's nice to like be out of my house and stuff and hanging out and talking to a woman again. I feel like I'm just starting to like feel like myself again, you know? Because like when you're in a relationship, like everything is so dictated by what your partner does, you know?
Yeah.
This is gonna sound weird, but like my ex-girlfriend would like pick out my clothes. Yeah. Like, if I would leave the room, like, wearing what I wanted to wear, she would scream at me, like, get back in there and, like, put on the outfit I chose for you. And I, like, found myself wearing, like, purple all the time. And I had these like brown leather bracelets. And I was like, why am I wearing like 10 brown leather bracelets? Like, I don't like jewelry. Like, I didn't grow up wearing jewelry, let alone like brown leather. And like she would never call me her boyfriend. Like, we dated for 2.5 years. And she would never call me her boyfriend. Like, I would go to her reunions and meet her extended family and stuff. And she'd be like, this is Darren, my friend.
Oh my God.
I don't know. It just really made me feel like shit. To be like, I've been dating you for so... Yeah, you're,
Sarah's nose bleeds.
Oh, sorry.
She dashes off and Nikki follows as Brian wraps.
But now it's speech incrediment. Oh, girl, where you going? I just want another jello shot. Yeah. I have the rainbow sprinkles with the cone. Every time I talk, it's a fucking poem.
Sarah sits in the bathroom with bloody tissues pressed to her nose.
Come in.
Hey. Nikki enters.
Hey, feeling?
I'm sorry. This happens sometimes.
Oh my God, don't be sorry. You okay?
Should I ruin it?
No. Come on, it's hot. It's punk rock. Maybe lift your head back. Yeah, I think it stops the bleeding. Okay. I'm gonna get back out there. Take your time, but
happy birthday.
Nikki leaves, and Sarah looks at herself in the mirror. She exits the bathroom.
She maybe doesn't, like, go out, like, hang out with people a lot, but she's so nice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind at all. It's just nice to hang out with someone who's, you know, nice.
Oh.
Sarah overhears.
She sleepwalks.
Later, Sarah chugs a drink, gripping the glass with both hands. Darren is dancing on the living room floor beside her, and she joins him. Nikki and Brian watch them from the couch.
This is awesome.
Darren wiggles and waves his arms as Sarah gallops around him like a horse, moving her hands in the motion of working the reins. Then Sarah puts her hands on her hips and undulates her hips back and forth. Darren thrusts his pelvis, a cigarette dangling from between his lips.
Belly,
is that Zumba?
Belly dancing with
I think that's Zumba.
Centaurs.
Nikki and Brian watch them as they groove together. After, Sarah and Darren sit at the kitchen table facing each other with their knees touching. They both swig from glasses.
I love water.
Water's good.
Yeah, water's good.
They gaze at each other, then Darren checks his phone.
My car's here. I'm gonna leave my car here and then take a car because I don't think that I should drive.
Sarah hugs him. Then helps him up.
Thank you. So much. My car's safe here, yeah?
See? Yeah, the garage locks.
Hey, happy birthday.
They embrace at the front door.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me share it with you. I really liked that.
Totally.
Yeah. It was really nice to meet you.
You too.
Hopefully I'll see you.
Definitely.
All right.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye.
Darren leaves as she leans on the wall with a smile on her face. Sarah vomits in the toilet. She jerks back and forth and hovers over the ground, then imagines herself laying on a white floor between a middle-aged man and a young woman. They lay motionless in a row, the man in a t-shirt and boxer shorts, and the young woman in a long black t-shirt. Sarah's eyelids flutter, then she turns her head to the side to look at the man. She stares, then looks to the other side at the young woman. She cranks her neck to gaze upwards. Blackness fills the screen. The next morning, Nikki and Brian exit their bedroom and spot a row of scratches on the wall.
Whoa. What the hell?
Yeah.
Sarah is sprawled face down on a heap of cushions on the living room floor. She is still wearing the red dress.
Hey, good morning.
Oh, hey. What's this?
Oh, you were wilding out. Do you know what happened to the wall? Those scratches?
Sarah sits up.
I don't know.
Maybe call a handyman, get it fixed just before the landlord sees it.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't remember.
No, it's okay. Just get it fixed.
Sarah nods.
Have a good day.
Nikki and Brian leave. Sarah puts a hand to her face. Soon after, she stands to examine the deep grooves in the wall. She touches them and runs her fingers over them. Sarah looks through the peephole, then opens the door. Darren is in the hall in a shirt and tie.
Hi.
Hi.
Remember me from the lesson?
Yeah.
I just came to get my car, and I was thinking about you and wanted to see if I could have your number, and maybe I could take you on a date.
Sarah smiles coyly.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, okay, good, yeah. Sorry, can I just put your number here?
I'll put it in.
Yeah, sorry, I'm like nervous as hell. I haven't done that in a while, so. Yeah, maybe everything's like online now, and so it's so nice to meet someone in person. Like, there's something so exciting about you, and I was thinking about you, and seeing the dress again, I'm like, it's just as pretty today. So, yeah, first I'll call or text you, or?
Okay.
Okay, so then I guess I'm gonna go.
Okay.
Okay, thank you for this, bye.
Okay, so, bye.
I love this gradient yarn.
Oh, yeah.
At work.
It's so cool.
Pretty.
So did you hang out with your Zumba friends last night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone just came over and we sort of had a little party. And I met a guy.
Sarah? What?
Yeah, he just came over because he's roommates with my roommate's boyfriend, Brian, so he just came over with him. And we just hung out all night and talked, he's so nice.
What's his name?
His name is Darren, like from Purgatory.
Interesting.
And then, he came back over this morning and asked me out on a date, whoa. Like a real date.
This is serious, he really likes you. I'm happy for you, Sarah.
Sarah shrugs. After, she hangs beads on racks.
Oh no, they sent these weird agate chunks again.
Oh, I don't like those agates. Nobody's gonna buy them.
I told them around.
Sarah's nose bleeds.
Oh no. Oh, Joan.
Oh no.
Oh, sorry.
Oh my goodness. Oh, here, I have a tissue. Here, take this. Now keep your head forward, it'll help.
Forward,
it'll stop the bleeding.
Okay. I'm sorry, I think I'm probably just dehydrated from drinking.
A homeless man.
Poor guy.
The man from Sarah's vision strides past the store and Sarah recalls seeing him. She stares with a bloody tissue stuffed in her nose.
Hello? Hello?
Sarah exits the shop as the homeless man storms past. She looks up and down the sidewalk, the bloody tissue dangling from her nostril. After, Sarah washes the blood off the beads in a sink. Then later, she visits an upscale home and a middle-aged woman greets her.
Hi!
Hi! How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for coming. It makes her so happy.
They hug.
It makes me happy, too.
How you doing?
Good. Everything's good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Heather, Sarah's here.
Coming.
So she had a really good week, no seizures, but if anything happens, she's got her meds in her pocket, and just text me or whatever.
Okay. We'll probably just take a walk.
Oh, fun.
Oh, hi.
Sarah.
You look so pretty.
You look pretty. Your hair is getting so long.
Thanks. I'm growing it out.
I made you this.
You did?
It's an anklet.
So your mom said you got a new job at the market?
Well, it's actually this, it's at the same market. Mm-hmm. But I was so excited to tell you. They actually moved me to the bakery.
That's so cool.
Thanks.
Are you baking?
Yeah, well, they're having...
Sarah holds Heather's hand as they shuffle down the sidewalk. She strokes Heather's arm.
Because... it's because I'm so friendly.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
That's cool.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Sarah shrugs.
Yeah, kind of. I kind of have a new boyfriend.
You do?
Yeah, his name is Darren. He's, like, really nice.
Oh, my gosh, that's so cool.
Sarah nods.
What color is his hair?
It's brown.
Just like Willow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of.
In a flashback, young Heather rides a white horse and young Sarah rides beside her on Willow. The girls smile at each other. Then Heather is splayed in the dirt as her horse trots away and Sarah runs to her.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Sarah looks at her friend sadly. After, they hug.
Goodbye. I love you.
Sarah embraces Heather's mother. Returns to her car and gets in the driver's seat. Sarah's eyes are haunted in the rearview mirror. Soon after, she stops at a red light at a downtown intersection and stares at a cluster of green water towers across the street, as if in a trance. The light turns green and her car idles at the intersection. At her apartment, Sarah watches as the water in the sink runs down the drain. She heaves a sigh, then turns off the faucet. The water pools and runs down the drain as she leaves the kitchen. Later, she tosses and turns in bed. Her eyes open and close as she fidgets, annoyed by the murmuring outside her bedroom. She covers her head with a pillow. The next morning, her phone alarm goes off. Sarah finishes her coffee, then grabs her purse and heads to the front door. She stops, looking frightened, as the knob rattles and the door swings open.
Jeez, you scared me. I crashed with Brian's. Power went out. My phone died. My alarm didn't go off, so I'm fucked.
I thought you were here. I heard you guys last night.
What? No. We're at Brian's all night.
I heard your
Did you call the handyman about this yet?
No, not yet.
I need you to do that, please.
Okay. Bye.
Nikki points to the scratches, then hurries off. Sarah exits. Soon after, Sarah crosses the parking garage, and her parking space is empty. She looks around.
Yes, hi. I'm calling to report a stolen vehicle.
What's the make and model of your vehicle?
It's a 1991 Volvo 240. It's gold. The license plate is GCQ4457. It has a sunroof. I had the club locked on it. I don't know how this could have happened.
Hey, can you give me a ride to work?
You're late. Can you hold on one sec?
Sarah answers a call.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Sarah? Can you hear me?
Yeah, Gary?
Oh, I just got to have this hands-free thing. I didn't even know if it worked. Listen, I just got a call from a tow yard
They have your car.
Oh my God, that is great news. I'm just on the other line reporting it stolen.
I guess it's still under my name. I can come pick you up. You want to go get it?
Yes. Gary, thank you so much.
Okay, yeah, all right. I'll see you in a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
Sarah drops her other call.
Hello? Oh, shoot.
After, a silver luxury car is parked outside her building and Sarah gets in the passenger seat.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, sweetie. How are you?
She hugs the man.
Sorry, I don't know what happened. The gates were closed and I locked the club and everything.
Don't even worry about it. It's all taken care of. You're good. And, here. Oh. Happy belated birthday.
A card.
I didn't know what to get you, so I figured this way you can get whatever you want and get yourself something nice.
Oh, Gary.
You know.
Hey, thank you.
You have it, sure.
A stack of cash.
And I feel bad. I'm sorry. I haven't really been around lately. I've been crazy with everything.
It's okay.
No, it's not, but how have you been?
Yeah, I've been good. I've been going by to see Mom and making sure the grave's all clean and nice.
Nice.
Gary nods.
Let's go take care of this, okay?
At the tow lot.
You were really, really lucky. The car was blocking traffic. They left it in the middle of the street with no gas.
Where was it?
By the water place.
The water place?
The tanks?
The jello tanks.
Yeah.
It's tanks.
It was green, but yeah.
But you know, I don't think this car was stolen because the key was in the ignition and it was turned right. So I believe they just let the car running and they ran out of gas.
Detective.
I'm gonna need.
Yeah, that was a. I saw that on Colombo once.
It's not over here.
Sarah peers in her car.
All right, really appreciate the call.
The wheel lock is on the passenger seat, and she recalls gazing at the water towers.
Here, sweetie.
She turns to Gary.
Thanks, Gary. I really appreciate it.
Oh, of course.
I'm so sorry.
Weird. Car looks like it's in one piece. You're okay?
Mm-hmm.
You need anything? Need any more money?
No, no. No, thank you.
And tell me if you do.
Hey, Gary, how old was Mom when she started acting like Helen?
She never acted like Helen. Hell no. Helen was, you know, she was talking to walls. She struggled. She struggled sometimes. Things became a little too much, you know?
Sarah nods.
Why? Are you...
No. Thanks, love you.
Hey, happy belated birthday. All right, sweetie.
Sarah gets in her car. At the horse barn, Joe runs a horse in a corral.
Heggle boy.
Oh. Hey, Joe.
Oh, hey there.
So Emma's not taking Willow out today?
No, she's out of town. Out of town.
You want me to take her out?
No. Good.
I mean, I'm here. I don't mind. Happy to give her some exercise.
You know what? It's kind of an insurance thing. She's not your horse anymore.
Well, I'll just go by and say hi and give her a little brush.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
Sarah enters the stall.
Hi, Willow. Hi, Beauty. Gonna get a little rest today?
Sarah brushes the horse's silky mane, then frowns when she notices the lanyard is missing. Joe is with the horse in the corral, and Sarah joins him.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Willow's not wearing
You want to step outside, please? Thanks.
Oh, sorry. Willow's not wearing that lanyard I made her. Do you know what happened to it?
What's that now?
Remember a couple days ago I made her that lanyard for our birthdays? But I can't find it.
You know, I don't know what that... I'm sure it'll turn up, though.
Sarah considers, then nods.
Okay. I'll see you around.
All right.
Sarah leaves. Back at the apartment, Sarah sits on the floor of her bedroom looking at photos that she retrieves from a round tin. She gazes at one of her younger self with her mother. In another, preteen Sarah has her arm around her mother. And an older black and white photograph features Sarah's grandmother posing in the orange dress. The woman stands sideways with a slight smile, her dark hair curled and wavy. Sarah studies the photo, then looks up at her own reflection in a mirror, taking in the resemblance. She tilts her head to the side. Sara looks back down at the picture, then glances at the orange dress folded over a chair. She returns to staring at her reflection in the mirror. Sara turns her head to the side, mimicking the position of her grandmother in the photograph. Later, the bedroom is in darkness. The glowing green numbers of a digital clock read 11:02 p.m. Sara sets her phone alarm and settles on her side in bed. A white ramp hovers over a body of water. Sara lies on the white floor, the man to her right. Sara stares at him, their chests rising and falling at the same time as they breathe. Fabric billows, blurring the image. Sara stands by a payphone on the sidewalk. Her pajama shirt is on backwards and her expression is blank. She holds the phone receiver in her hand. Sara blinks. Sara glances back at her apartment building behind her, several feet down the sidewalk. A light shines over the building's front door. She hangs up the receiver. Nikki shuffles to the door of their apartment.
What the fuck? Hi, sorry. I think I was sleepwalking because my mom used to say that I have an overactive bench. Good night.
Nikki walks away and Sara sits on her bed. The digital clock reads 11:04 p.m. Sara picks up her phone from the nightstand. It shows a missed call from an unknown number 25 minutes ago. Sara types time loss into a computer search engine. She watches a video.
I took her for a walk. I distinctly remember the clock saying it was 6 p.m. and saying hey to my neighbor Glenn, who was on his porch. And this was in the winter, so, you know, it was dark outside already. I came home, fed her, looked out the window, and bam, it was light outside. I looked at the clock again, and it said 5 p.m. Wow. Yeah. In my book, I interview several people with similar incidents that don't jive with our notions of reality.
So aliens.
That's certainly one explanation. Alien abductions. Accidentally slipping into parallel universes. Thought control.
At work, Joan is on the register, and Sara stands beside her.
30% employee discount just for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Shannon's not here yet, but before she gets in, would you mind taking a look at the glue? She did it yesterday, but it's just a little... Are you okay?
I don't know. I just haven't been sleeping very well.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I've been having, like, really weird dreams.
Really? About what?
I don't know. Like, I've been seeing the same people over and over again. And, like, these strange places I've never been before. And I don't know how to describe it. It just feels really weird. Like, really scary.
That's horrible.
And, like, I've been having, like, weird things with time.
Weird things with time?
Like, finding myself places and I don't know how I got there.
What does that mean exactly?
Like, last night, I was gone for like 25 minutes, and when I looked at the clock, it showed that only 2 minutes had passed. So, like, I did some research online, and people talk about carbon monoxide poisoning, but I just don't think it's that. And then they also talk about alien abductions. Do you believe in that?
No, I... not really.
No.
Do you think this sounds similar to some of the stuff your mom went through?
No.
Maybe you should talk to a doctor, Sara. You know, get a professional opinion. What do you think?
Maybe.
A man passes.
Joan, that's the guy from my dream.
Really?
Yes.
Sarah hurries outside and watches as the man gets into a white van with the words Santiago's Plumbing HVAC on the side. The homeless man rants outside the store. Sarah stands and stares at the van. Sarah is at Zumba class. Slows her pace, then stops. She blinks, her expression troubled, then walks away. The instructor glances back. Sarah visits the plumbing shop, and the man from her dream is behind a counter.
Hi, can I help you?
He stands and looks at her. Sarah approaches with a coy smile, and he looks around, uneasy. Sarah steps up to the counter.
Do you remember me?
Have you used this before?
Sarah stares at him.
I just wanted to talk to you.
Okay, about plumbing, HVAC?
Plumbing.
Kitchen, bathroom?
Kitchen. Pipes. I need new pipes.
All right. Pipes.
Is that expensive?
Depends on the work. It's hard to tell until I check it out.
Oh, you could come and check it out? I have money.
Oh, well, that's usually not necessary until I'm at the job. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Great. So you come check it out tonight?
Well, we're almost closed and dispatch is gone, so I can probably squeeze you in the morning.
In the morning. Tomorrow morning. Great. So you come tomorrow morning?
You really want those pipes, huh?
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, just need some information. Your name?
Agatha Kane.
Sarah eyes her name written on the envelope from Gary and flips it over. The man fills out a form.
Tomorrow, then?
Yeah. Just need your address and phone number.
Okay. She completes the form. That night at the apartment, Sarah sits in the living room looking at her computer screen. She checks the DNA and U site and finds her results pending. She rubs her eye and yawns. Then starts a paused episode of Purgatory.
One. Mississippi.
Please don't.
Two. Mississippi.
Listen to your heart, Agatha.
Three.
Mississippi.
Agatha fires a gun. Sarah rewinds the tape. She studies the two clone images of Darren on the screen, her eyes wide. Sarah remembers the photo of her grandmother and nods. The next morning, she sits on the couch winding yarn in a diamond pattern around wooden sticks. Her computer is open to an article about cow clones titled The Great Filter. Sarah sets down her craft and hurries to the door.
Hey, Miss Kane. I'm Tom from Santiago's Plumbing.
Tom checks the pipes.
Yes, good. We're replacing this old galvanized pipe. It's got tons of sclerosis.
Mm, those are better?
Yeah, copper's the best.
Sarah watches him.
So, like, are you friends with any of the people you work with?
I don't know. We get beers, like, once a month or something.
And what about the guy who made me this appointment?
That would be Ron, one of the owners.
One of the owners. Does he work every day?
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty much there all day.
Has he ever told you about anything weird that's happening?
Nikki returns home.
What is this? What's happening?
Hi. Nothing.
What is going on?
Nothing.
What is he? Hi, what are you doing?
He's just replacing the pipes because we needed new pipes. Our pipes are really old.
You're replacing the pipes?
Yeah, and I paid for them.
We're renting. I asked you to fix the scratches on the wall. We don't need new plumbing.
Can you just put it back how it was?
Tom knits his brow.
Miss Kane, I don't know if I'm authorized to do that. I mean,
Miss Kane?
Plus they're all gunked
up. What did you call her? What?
Agatha Kane?
Shh, listen.
Are you using an alias?
Listen, everything's fine. He's gonna finish doing the floors, and I already paid for it, and then he's gonna put the floor back the way it was, and I even called the guy about the walls, and he said he can't come until next week, so it's all taken care of.
Nikki blinks, incredulous.
Fine. This is fucking insane.
Nikki stomps to her room, and Tom looks puzzled. Sarah turns to him.
So is Ron working tonight?
That night, Sarah waits in her car outside the plumbing shop. The lights shut off inside. Ron strides out of the shop and locks the front doors. Sarah watches in her rearview mirror as he heads to the white company van and gets in the driver's seat. Ron starts the van and drives away. Sarah starts her car. Soon after, Sarah watches from her car as he enters his house. He stands near a dining room table, and a woman touches his arm. Then they talk to each other. Sarah imagines the shower running and fabric billows. Then she is laying on the white floor. She turns her head to the left to look at the young woman laying beside her in a black t-shirt. Sarah wakes in her car with a start. She glances at Ron's house and he is gone. The light is still on in the dining room, but the rest of the house is in darkness. Sarah rests her head back on her seat and looks up at the open sunroof of her car. She lifts her arm and reaches to the top of the opening. Sarah glances back at Ron's house. Back at the apartment, Sarah pulls the bundle of rolled papers from a kitchen drawer. The bundle is tied with the tarot card reader's flyer. Sarah lights the tip of the bundle with a lighter. Smoke wafts from the papers, and she waves them around the kitchen, standing on a chair to reach higher. Sarah bustles around to smudge the living room. Nearby, the diamond yarn craft hangs on the wall, and her grandmother's photo tucked in the weave. After, Sarah uses a sewing machine to alter her grandmother's dress. She gathers the fabric and looks down at her leg. She is wearing only a shirt and underwear. She stands and looks at a splotchy bruise on her upper left thigh in a mirror, then notices bruising on her side. Sarah sits and studies the photo of her grandmother. Sarah lowers her gaze and blinks, lost in thought. Then, Sarah tilts her head and curls her lips into a slight smile as she mimics her grandmother's pose and expression from the photograph. Another day, a doctor examines Sarah's nose.
Okay, here we go now. It's gonna sting just a little bit. And there we go. All done. Great. I think we got it. You did great.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
If I should get another nosebleed, should I lean my head back or should I lean it forward?
Yeah, always forward. Because if you lean your head back, then the blood is going to flow down the back of your throat and then you'll get nauseous and you'll throw up and you don't want that to happen. Okay? Good.
I've been having a little trouble sleeping.
because I've been having these really weird dreams and I've been kind of scared to go to sleep. And now I have some bruises on my body. Do you know what that could be from?
He looks at her side.
Well, you know, a bruise like that could really be from anything. You might have bumped into something even if you didn't know that you did. You know, it would be a good idea, Sarah, for you. I think you should get some blood work done through your GP and ask them to test for anemia, partly because of the nosebleeds you've been having. Mm-hmm. And if there's any coagulation problem, that could tell you something about the bruises as well. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, good.
Is there also a test, like, to see if I'm a clone?
I'm sorry?
Just a test to see if I'm, like, a clone.
A clone? Well, I guess the one way to do that is we take your DNA test, and we take the DNA test of the other person, and if they match, then you've got a clone. That's the only way I know.
Well, just because I've been watching season 5 of Purgatory, where Darren becomes a clone, and it just sort of got me thinking that, like, I look so much like my grandma, and I have all these old photos of her, and, like, we look exactly the same, and I can even sort of make the face she makes in the photos, and, like, so that would make sense, because I didn't know her. She was gone before I was born, so maybe they would have needed her body to, like, recycle it into me if I was a clone of her. And I don't know who would be doing it. Like, it could be the government or demons or immortal alchemists like Dee on Purgatory. I just wanted to see if maybe we could test for that.
Yeah. Sarah, I'm an ear, nose, and throat specialist. That's my area of expertise. So I don't really know a lot about some of this other stuff. It doesn't sound very likely to me, and I'm not familiar with Purgatory, whatever you mentioned, the series. You know what might be a good idea is for you to talk to someone, to talk to a psychologist and...
Never mind. Tell them. Okay, that's okay. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Bye.
That night, Sarah sits in her room wearing her grandmother's dress. She slowly applies bright red lipstick in a mirror. She opens the door to Darren.
Hey.
Hi.
You look beautiful.
So do you.
Thanks.
They dine at a restaurant.
I just want to say, I am so sorry for talking about my ex for so long the other night.
It's okay.
No, it's not. I mean, it's like the lamest thing that I could do, and I don't want to give you the impression that I'm like hung up on my ex. I'm not. And I really enjoyed spending time with you, and that's where my head's at.
I totally get it. Like, after my mom died, I like rewatched every episode of Purgatory, like every season, and just like really comforted me. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that your name is Darren.
Sarah smiles at him.
I'm sorry to hear about your mom, but I'm glad that you had the show to keep you company, because I know how hard that can be.
Sarah lowers her gaze and purses her lips.
And, like, I wanted to tell you that you don't have to worry about me getting nosebleeds ever again, because I went to the doctor and I got my nose fixed.
I thought the nosebleed was cute, but I'm glad it got fixed, so that's great.
Yeah, it is great, except I'll never be seeing that doctor again, so.
Why? What happened?
He's just like a jerk.
You like make fun of him or something?
Sarah nods and Darren raises his eyebrows.
I was just like talking to him about the paranormal stuff and like just made me feel like such an idiot for even bringing it up.
What an asshole. I mean, a doctor's whole job is to make a patient feel good, right? I mean, I think the paranormal is cool, like ghosts and aliens and stuff.
You do?
I mean, I was reading something the other day that was like, it was about how the ancients built the pyramids, you know, and they built two identical pyramids, but on opposite sides of the world. It's like, how did that happen? Like, they weren't communicating. There's no phones. There's no internet. And, like, the actual stones that they build the pyramids with are so hard, like, that you can't cut through those. So these people were saying that aliens were communicating with ancient people, and they were giving them alien technology to build the pyramids.
Yes. It's like it was happening even back then, and Satico Satellite was giving the aliens the technology, and the aliens were giving it to the humans.
And like Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, folklore comes from somewhere. So at some point, someone saw a Bigfoot.
Someone saw it, exactly. They saw it. And then they knew that the aliens were using the humans as thermometers and bringing them back up and like downloading all the information to learn about our planet, you know?
Totally.
And they could even be using human clones because that would give them more reliable information, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sarah beams at him and her mouth hangs open. After dinner, they stand on the sidewalk outside the restaurant kissing. A valet pulls up to the curb with Darren's car, then exits the vehicle and hands him the keys.
Can I show you something?
Yeah.
You just keep going straight. I'll tell you where to go.
Darren drives.
Is this a surprise or something?
Kind of.
I don't normally like surprises, but I'm excited.
You think you're gonna like it? This is further.
You're a lot of fun.
You too. Oh, okay, you're gonna take a left up the street.
Darren pulls over to the curb in a residential neighborhood. Sarah unfastens her seatbelt and leans over the front seat to kiss him. She pulls back and smiles.
What?
Look.
What?
Right there. The guy.
Ron dines with his wife.
The guy having dinner with his wife?
Mm-hmm. I've been seeing that guy in my dreams. And then I started to see him in real life.
What? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know my dad. And they told me that my grandpa, like, died in Korea or something, but I don't even think that's true. Because, like, neither of them would have been needed to produce me if I'm a clone.
Are you kidding?
No. Because, like, my grandma... Look, I think it's, like, the clones start to, like... go crazy or like expire, and then they need to be refreshed by a newer model, and that's me. Like, I sent my stuff to DNA and you, and they haven't responded. Nothing. Like, nothing at all. It's like they can't process the information because, and like, I've been waking up during the abductions, so I've seen other clones. That's how I know it's true. And like, he says he doesn't remember anything, but I think he's fucking lying.
Sarah is wide-eyed, and Darren glances at Ron.
Okay.
He looks back at Sarah, then lowers his gaze.
Maybe we should go.
There's one more thing I want to show you.
Sarah kisses Darren and he looks at her warily. He forces a wan smile, then pulls off the curb. Sarah looks around, wild-eyed, as Darren cruises down the street.
Okay, it's coming up.
Okay.
Okay, we're just gonna go in right up there.
Hey, why?
I'll show you.
Sarah, don't you want to just go home or something?
No. Just one more thing. It's just one more thing.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
Darren, pull over. Okay, stop it. Here. Come on.
He pulls over and she runs out of the car.
Sarah, what is happening?
Come on, Darren. It's just right here. It's just over here.
Why are we in the cemetery?
It's this way. It's right here. And my mom is here. It's my mom. We got her. We're going to dig her up because the doctor said that they can't just test me. We need her DNA and my DNA. We're going to get her DNA. When they test them together, they can see that I'm a clone.
Can you please just stop swinging the scissors around?
Yeah, we'll save the scissors, and then we'll take them to DNA and you because it's only 2 states away, and we can drive there tonight. We can prove that I'm the clone they're using to get the information.
Okay, I'm sorry, Sarah. I didn't realize that the alien stuff was, like, so serious, okay?
What do you mean? It's like Satico Satellite and the pyramids.
What the fuck is Satico Satellite?
It's like a Satico Satellite. He gave the technology to the aliens, and then the aliens, they gave the technology to the humans, and
You said that you knew. You said that you knew.
I mean, I said a lot of stuff. I talked about Loch Ness Monster and being fighting ghosts and shit. I thought I was talking about conspiracy theories. I didn't know it was, like, so serious.
You lied to me?
What? No. No.
Why would you lie to me?
Sarah, okay, look, I really, really, really like you. Okay, will you please just get back into the car?
Who do you work for?
I'm a paralegal.
No. What is this? What are you trying to do? Why are you trying to take advantage of me? No. No.
Okay, wait, what are we gonna do? Dig up your mom with the scissors? We don't even have a shovel. This is crazy. Please, let's get back into the
car. No! Don't fucking touch me! Don't fucking touch me! No! Just stay the fuck away from me!
I'm not gonna leave you in the middle of a cemetery at night, will you please?
Get the fuck away from me!
Away.
Why trick me?
Sarah sobs as Darren drives off.
No. Please.
Back at the apartment, the orange dress is draped over a living room chair, and the windows are covered with orange fabric. Sarah holds the lit bundle in one hand and uses her phone as a light as she smudges the walls and furniture with shaky hands. Purgatory is on TV. Nikki and Brian enter, and Nikki turns off a blender.
No! No! It has to be on because of Statico Satellite. He's a god of technology, and the aliens need to appease him. Okay, then they come at night when everything's off, and it's not daylight. It's electricity. It's all about electricity.
That's what she was talking about. Darren.
Hey, Lizzie, we heard about your date with Darren.
Darren tricked me.
Darren didn't trick you. You took him to the fucking graveyard.
It sounds like
fuck you, Brian. You don't even live here. Why are you always here?
Whoa. Hey, Sarah, I need you to calm down. Calm down, okay? Why don't you start from the beginning and explain to us.
Conspiracy at the heart of reality, okay? They're cloning me. They cloned me from my grandma. They're using me as a human thermometer. Okay, now they're trying to get rid of me. But this is a safe space. It's safe here. We're protected. And you just have to turn that on.
It's off. It's not plugged in.
Brian, I need you to turn that on.
It's not plugged in.
Hey, Sarah, what you're saying is not making any sense.
Nothing makes sense.
She runs off, and Nikki follows.
Sarah?
You'll leave me alone!
Sarah
rubs her forehead.
No.
She opens the shower door. An image of her car on the street, then Sarah is in the shower. Her car arrives at work.
If I was choosing, I'd do it.
At the craft store, Joan assists a customer as Sarah's car pulls up outside. Sarah stands in the shower and the water runs over her head. She stares down blankly and watches the water swirl down the drain. Sarah slides the shower door open and gazes into the craft store. Customers mill about as Sarah trudges into the showroom naked. Customers turn and gawp as Sarah pads across the floor completely nude. Sarah looks around, confused.
Joan!
Joan looks up.
Joan! What's happening?
Shannon, get everybody out of the store. Tell them it's closed. It's an emergency. Just get them out.
Help me!
Joan wraps her in fabric and embraces her.
Help me!
Okay, I'm helping you. Shh, you're just confused. Okay, shh.
What is this?
After.
I don't know what to do. I've tried everything and the fabric's not working. The lights aren't working. I'm just really scared.
You know, you can replace a negative thought with a positive thought.
It's never gonna stop.
You can just try. Think of things you like marmalade or flowers. You know how you like flowers? Think of flowers.
No, Joan. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than all of that. It's bigger than thoughts. It's bigger than time. It's something that Helen knew, and they got her, and they're gonna get me. They're coming after me, Joan. They're coming after me. They're coming after
No one's coming after you, Sarah. You're safe, I promise you. No one would want to take you. You're safe.
A young colleague bangs on the window and Joan waves her off. Sarah picks up the phone.
Shannon, just go. Punch out and go.
Shannon, just go. Punch out and go.
Sarah, put the phone down.
Joan turns to Sarah.
Sarah, put the phone down. Everything's gonna be okay.
Everything's gonna be okay.
I promise you.
I promise you.
I'm your friend.
I'm your friend.
Joan gazes worriedly at Sarah.
I can hear the future.
Joan looks at Sarah, her brow knitted and her eyes full of worry. Soon after, Sarah sits in the back of a police cruiser, wrapped in the orange fabric. She watches as Joan talks to a police officer. After, at a hospital.
I will verbally provide you with a series of questions. Please answer to the best of your ability. When someone feels as upset as you do, they may have thoughts that life is not worth living. What thoughts have you had like this?
No.
Okay. If you decided to end your life, how would you do so?
Sarah stares blankly.
I don't know.
Have you made plans to do so?
She shakes her head.
Okay. People often have mixed feelings about harming themselves. What are some things that would stop you from hurting yourself?
Hospital room.
Okay, so this will be your room, and this one will be your bed.
Sarah walks to the cot and sits on the edge, her expression blank.
Try to make yourself comfortable.
The nurse glances back as she leaves, then closes the door. Sarah scans the room. She notices a small white dresser and another empty cot adjacent to hers. A light flickers behind her. Sometime later, she meets with a man in an office. He opens his desk drawer.
So, before we start, do you want some juice or some crackers?
Juice.
So, it's good to see you again. I'm gonna be your social worker again this week.
I've never been here before.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Ethan. I was your social worker last time. We talked a little bit about your horse and maybe some of the crafts that you were doing. Do you remember that?
Her eyes well with tears.
I don't know.
Okay, all right. That's okay. I just wanna, how about we just talk about now and get a sense of how you're feeling? Are you experiencing any anxiety or depression?
She nods.
Yeah, anxiety? Scale of 1 to 10, how intense?
10.
And then how about depression?
Mm-mm.
No? 1, 2, 3?
1.
1, good, okay. And are you hearing any voices? Are you seeing anything that maybe no one else is seeing?
She nods.
Yeah. And what is it that you're experiencing?
I'm like being taken, I'm like being abducted by aliens. And like, I think that they're cloning me. And I've seen like people always say that I look just like my grandma. And like, I've seen photos of her, we look exactly alike. Like I look like her clone. And I think that I am. Like, I think I'm a clone of her.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit more about your family?
Yeah, you know, people always said that my grandma was so crazy. Like, she was like talking to the walls and like she was hearing voices. She thought she was from the future.
Yeah.
And she was super paranoid and like, now I think that maybe she wasn't crazy at all. Because I'm feeling it, like the same thing is happening to me. Hmm. And she was in a place like this, she got put in a place like this. And then, you know, Reagan closed down all the hospitals and she got put out on the street and she just died as like a homeless woman in the streets.
I'm sorry. What about your mom? Did she have similar issues?
No, my mom had depression.
Sarah shakes her head, choking back tears. Ethan watches her patiently as she gathers herself.
Mom was just, like, really depressed. She killed herself last year.
Sarah recalls a vanity of pill containers.
I found her in her bathroom. She was just really depressed. She took a lot of pills.
In a flashback, Sarah finds her mother face down on the bathroom floor. Behind them, the shower is running.
I'm really sorry. How about your dad? Is he around?
No. No, I didn't have a dad. He was... And Gary raised me. I thought Gary was my dad, but... He left when I was, like, 16.
And who's Gary?
He's my mom's husband. He's her ex-husband.
You've been through a lot.
Sarah nods.
I want you to know that I believe that you're telling me your truth and that what you're experiencing feels 100% real to you. And I appreciate your honesty. I really do. I can feel that from you, and that's going to go a long way in terms of where we want to go. But I also want to just say, for the sake of our rapport, that I am a bit skeptical of alien abductions and cloning, but I...
Me too. I know that it sounds crazy, okay? I know it sounds really crazy, but it just feels really real to me, okay?
Yeah.
And I just wish that I could start over.
We don't need to go back or start over. We can start from right here. And, you know, we've had great success here, and we have an incredible team, and... I and they are 100% committed to helping you.
Sarah nods. That night, an orange curtain hangs over the window in Sarah's hospital room. She lays in her cot and reaches up to touch the fabric. A nurse opens the door.
Where's Ethan? He said he'd watch me sleep.
Ethan already left for the night. Don't worry, Sarah. We have a full staff. You'll be safe. Try and get some rest. It'll be good for you. Okay, Sarah, have a good night.
A 1950s-style nurse turns and closes the door. Light shines through a crack in the door. Sarah sits up, then hurries out of the room. Sarah pads down the hall and exits the building. She hurries down the sidewalk. From an upper window, Sarah watches herself walk away from the hospital. Soon after, Sarah enters her apartment. The young woman from her dream is there.
Where have you been? Are you okay? Hello? Just talk to me. Just tell me where you went.
Who are you?
What do you mean, who am I?
Why are you wearing Nikki's clothes?
These are my clothes. Hey, just tell me how you got out. What happened?
Where are my fabrics?
What do you mean fabrics?
Sarah reaches up to touch the woman's face, then recoils.
You're not Nikki.
What?
No, you weren't.
Why are you acting like this? What
get away from me.
You?
Get away from me.
You're not Nikki.
You're not Nikki.
I'm trying to help you.
No.
Tell me where you went.
No.
Open up.
No.
Hides in her room. A light shines from under the door and reflects on Sarah's terrified face. Her bed is pulled to the entrance and Sarah hops off. She rips orange curtains from her window and Sarah escapes through the window. Sarah stands on the ground outside her bedroom window. She stares at a door on a building in front of her and slowly walks towards it. taking each step methodically. Sarah opens the door and enters the vacant craft store. Lights flash as she strides forward, gripping a length of orange fabric. She drags the cloth behind her as she strides down the sidewalk, leaving a long trail of orange fabric. Back in her apartment bedroom, orange fabric covers a lamp and the windows. She works at the sewing machine. Sometime later that night, Sarah is at the horse barn. Both Sarah and Willow are covered in suits of tight-fitting orange fabric embroidered with a diamond pattern. Sarah's hands and head are covered with the material. Joe glares from the darkness.
Hey.
She turns.
What are you doing here?
He steps towards her.
I have to keep her safe.
Sarah backs away as Joe advances. She leans against the side of the stall and he stands in front of her, his eyes full of fury. Sarah meets his gaze.
Get out of here.
She looks at the horse.
Get out of here! Get out of here! Yeah!
Sarah runs away. Joe stares at the horse's eye. Sarah stands across the street from Ron's house, concealed in the fabric suit. She slips inside. She creeps through the darkened house and pads up a set of stairs. She walks down the hallway and enters a bedroom. Heads down a dim and narrow hallway. Overhead, the ceiling is hung with a series of round fluorescent lights. A reflection of reddish-hued light shines on Sarah as she continues down the hall. Her arms hang at her sides, and she takes each step slowly and deliberately. She reaches a closed door and puts her gloved hand on it. Darren opens it. They sit on his bed.
I've never seen him like that before.
Yeah.
He was so angry.
Yeah.
It was so scary.
You have nothing to be afraid of.
Okay.
I'm here for you.
Yeah.
I love you.
Darren lowers the fabric covering her mouth and she smiles. He tenderly strokes her cheek and they kiss. They continue kissing as their passion intensifies. Darren runs a thin glass tube down the back of her suit, unzipping it. Their heads are pressed together, and Darren helps her out of the suit. Her torso is naked, and Darren cups her breast and pinches her nipple as they resume kissing. Kisses her neck through the fabric of her hood, then kisses her shoulder. Their eyes meet and Sarah smiles. After, Sarah is on her back and Darren is on top of her as they make love. Darren is nude and Sarah still wears the hood as he thrusts into her gently. Darren kisses her lips, then her neck, and trails down her chest. Sarah's mouth hangs open and her eyes close as she is lost in ecstasy. Sarah opens her eyes as a nude man appears over top of her. He kisses her, then looks down at her, revealing it to be Darren from Purgatory. Sarah gazes up at him lovingly. They kiss again as the thrusting becomes more intense. And they stare into each other's eyes. Their lips meet in a post-coital kiss. Sometime later, Purgatory's Darren works at the sewing machine, and Sarah is on the floor on her knees, folding a length of fabric. Darren is draped in the cloth, and they smile at each other. Sarah looks up again, and Darren is gone. She is wearing the cloth suit and cuts into a length of fabric. She pulls apart the cloth sections to reveal the entrance to a white room filled with a tangle of pipes. A white light shines on her face. Sarah enters the room and glances back. She gazes at a starry night sky behind her. Sarah turns back and walks into the white room. She carries the scissors in her hand as she walks, her body and head covered in the pale orange fabric. The pipes have disappeared, and Sarah is surrounded by white walls. Sarah spots herself unconscious in the red dress on a white slab as a black alien figure examines her. The alien runs blade-like hands over her torso, and she recalls the bruising on her body. Sarah continues walking, getting a glimpse of the white ramp hovering over a body of water. Encounters white rungs on a wall in front of her. She pulls the mask over her face so that only her eyes are visible. She looks up, then climbs up the ladder. Orange fabric billows. Then a sheer orange curtain hangs on a bedroom window. An orange salt lamp casts a soft glow into a bedroom, and Sarah slips inside, wearing the suit, hood, and mask. She gently crawls into bed beside a sleeping Heather. Heather wakes and smiles. Heather turns on her side to face Sarah. Sarah's eyes close, then blackness fills the screen. Morning sunlight shines through the hospital bedroom window. Sarah is asleep in a cot beside the young woman from her dream. They are on their sides, facing each other, and their hands are clasped. Sarah wakes and startles. She hurries to her own cot.
Were you just in my bed?
Sarah's mouth hangs open.
Why are you in my fucking bed?
The young brunette woman sits up, her long hair disheveled. She eyes Sarah warily, and Sarah looks embarrassed and confused.
It's you.
The young woman knits her brow. Sarah crosses her legs and shakes her head.
Why are you here? I really don't want to talk about that with you.
Please.
Sorry, I really just want to go back to sleep.
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on.
I know, I understand. I just don't want to talk about it.
Listen to me. I know you from somewhere that's not here.
The young woman rubs her eye.
Do you remember me?
She shakes her head.
I would like to go back to sleep. Please, please tell me. Just tell me. What happened is that I went to sleep in fucking 1995 and I woke up and all the buildings are different. I can't find anyone I know. I can't find where I'm supposed to be. Nothing makes sense. And every time I tell anybody that, they look at me like I'm fucking crazy because that's a crazy thing to say. And now you think I'm crazy and we're both fucking here.
You're crazy. You're not crazy. My grandmother thought she was from the future and nobody believed her. They can take us to other times.
Who can't?
We're being abducted.
Oh my God.
At the same time. No, 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 please listen to me. There's a white space. There's a ramp floating over the ocean. There's the like fingers.
How do you know about the ramp?
You've seen it.
Yeah, that's a dream that I have all the time. How do you know about that?
It's not a dream.
Sarah laughs to herself.
How do you know about that dream? How do you know about that? I've never told you that.
I believe you.
Later, with Ethan.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
How are you feeling?
Good. Yeah.
Good.
I'm feeling much better, having gotten some sleep. And I know I'm not a clone, and I think I figured a lot of stuff out.
Okay. Sounds like you're making good progress. I have some good news. You've been here almost 72 hours, and Dr. Fung has decided to discharge you today. So you're gonna be going...
I've only been here one night.
Well, it's been almost 3 days. But it's, look, a lot of times when people come in for the first time, their brains are adjusting for a while, and it's not abnormal that you wouldn't remember everything, so...
Sarah grins.
That actually makes a lot of sense. It's like how you told me yesterday that I had met you before a few weeks ago.
I'm sorry, I said...
It totally works. Remember how I was telling you that there was a guy I was seeing in my dream and like in the abductions? Well, there was a girl there too. And that girl was my roommate here, and she remembers the abductions too. Because we were both waking up. But Ron, the guy, wasn't. So he doesn't remember anything. And they brought her here from another time. So like... It all makes sense. It's like a loop. It's continual. It has to happen. I'm not a clone. I am my grandmother. It's actually kind of beautiful.
Ethan looks down.
Okay. Who's the girl that you talked to?
Do you think I imagined the girl in my room?
No, I actually don't know anything about the room assignments. I just, you know, I'm here. And I just would have hoped that you would refrain from taking advice from other patients.
Well, it's not advice, it's just the truth.
Ethan nods.
Okay. Well, this will be in your paperwork, but I want to highlight, I made an appointment for you over at the Foxhaven Clinic. It's on Green Street, and it's free, and it's your choice whether you want to go or not, but... I really hope that you go, because I have high hopes for you, and I'm rooting for you, and I think it would be very important for you to follow up with that.
Thanks, Ethan. I know what I need to do.
Well, what is your plan?
She smiles. Later, a sign on the side of the hospital reads, "Acute." Sarah walks down the front path with a plastic bag and enters a waiting taxi. She gets in the back, then returns to her apartment. Soon after, she sits at her vanity wearing her grandmother's orange dress, the photo in front of her. She curls her hair. Horse barn.
I'm not gonna paint it and have him fixed, but I want to be able to bite off asparagus. I can't bite asparagus because it goes right through my teeth.
Well, I thought you had those
those plates put on your teeth, or those, what do you call them? Oh, come on.
No, my mouth guard? I don't wear that.
But that's just for snoring?
Sarah watches them, then heads to Willow's stall. Strokes the horse's snout and nuzzles her.
My sweet girl, look what I brought you.
She hangs the craft around the horse's neck. Sarah is wearing the orange dress.
Hey, let's go.
She leads the horse away from the barn. She has a smile on her face. Her hair is curled like her grandmother's, and she wears bright red lipstick. Through town and past the craft store. She glances back with a grin as she passes. Joan spots the horse through the shop window and knits her brow. Soon after, Sarah leads the horse through a dense forest. The brown steed trots obediently along beside her, the woven craft dangling from her neck. They cross the lush green field of a golf course. A golfer swings a club in the distance. Sarah leads Willow back into the forest. They follow a path through the woods as sunlight shines through the lush green foliage. Sarah traipses over dense underbrush with a contented smile, then stops and turns to face the horse. She pats Willow's brown snout.
I'll always protect you. I love you.
Sarah runs her hand down the horse's face and nose. She strokes Willow's neck, then wanders off. The diamond-shaped yarn craft hangs from the horse's neck. She kicks off her brown loafers and steps over the ground in her bare feet as the horse nibbles grass behind her. She lays down on the underbrush and looks up at the blue sky overhead. Sarah closes her eyes. A light shines down on her and she opens her eyes. Sarah's fingers and toes brush the dirt as her body is slowly lifted off the ground. Willow grazes nearby, and Sarah's body hovers in midair, then floats upwards. In the sky, the lights of a spacecraft beam down. Sarah's body is limp as she is pulled towards the ship. Her head lolls back, and her back is arched. The lights from the UFO shine, then fade away. The ship vanishes. Willow nibbles tall grasses. Nearby, Sarah's shoes sit on the ground. Credits: Unit Production Manager Joel Henry, First Assistant Director Sharzad Devani, Second Assistant Director John T. Mellick. There's no ending. Cast in order of appearance: Allison Brie as Sarah, Molly Shannon as Joan, Golden Knight as Willow, Stella Chestnut as Shannon, John Ortiz as Ron, Lauren Weedman as Cheryl, Hazel Armanante as Emma, Robin Tunney as Agatha Kane, Matthew Gray Gubler as Darren Colt, Debbie Ryan as Nikki, Jake Picking as Brian, Mary Apick as Tarot Card Reader, Toby Huss as Joe, Angela Trimber as Julie, Aaron Stanford as Hades, John Reynolds as Darren, Dylan Galula as Jane Doe, Andrew Patrick Ralston as Homeless Man, Dendry Taylor as Heather's Mom, Meredith Hagner as Heather, Zoe Saltz as Young Heather, Victoria Clare as Young Sarah, Paul Reiser as Gary, Louis Fernandez Gill as Toe Worker, Alan McLeod as Technician, Bonnie Burrows as Wanda, David Paymer as Doctor, Sheree Nakai as Nurse, Jay Duplass as Ethan. Casting by Courtney Bright, CSA, and Nicole Daniels, CSA. Costume designer, Beth Morgan. Production design by Ashley Fenton and Megan Fenton. Cinematography by Sean McKelwee. Edited by Ryan Brown. Sound design by Zach Goheen. Original music by Josiah Steinbrick and Jeremy Zuckerman. Co-producer, Joel Henry. Executive producers, Jay Duplass and Mark Duplass. Produced by Mel Eslin, Alana Carithers, Jeff Baina, and Allison Brie. Written by Jeff Baina and Allison Brie. Directed by Jeff Baina. Composed and performed by Josiah Steinbrick and Jeremy Zuckerman. Songs, Stick and a Brush, written by Kenny Werner. Brandenburg Concerto No. 4 in G Allegro, written by Johann Sebastian Bach. Don't Tell a Soul, written by Christian Lundberg, Bruce Fingers, and Billy Ray Fingers. You Betrayed Me, written by Thomas Bergerson and Nick Phoenix. Watch or Die Ending, written by Thomas Bergerson and Nick Phoenix. Brombulance Brom, written by Aaron Charles, Charles Edwards, Bruce Fingers, and Billy Ray Fingers. Born in the USA, written by Trolls Brune Folman. Wanna Be Free, written by Circuit Shaker, Hannah Gabriela Benuelos, and Victoria Benuelos. Purple Taze, written by Frederick King Avis. Hollywood Kills, performed by Jake Picking. Freestyle, performed by Jake Picking. Sunday, performed by Jake Picking. Some Days, performed by Jake Picking. Average Joe, written by Stephen Emil Dudas. Trio Sonata No. 1 in G Moderato, written by Domenico Gallo. Party Train, written by Matt Smith and Daniel Carl Holter. Burn Rubber, written by Joshua Herschel Klein. East L.A. Haze Dream, written and performed by Sam Gendel. If It Ain't Hip, written by Emil Vicalicki. Suite No. 2 in B Minor for Flute, written by Johann Sebastian Bach. Plantasia, performed by Melise. All Mirrors, performed by Angel Olsen. SAG-AFTRA, shot on location in Los Angeles, California. American Humane monitored the animal action. No animals were harmed. The persons, incidents, and situations portrayed in this movie are fictional. Any resemblance to actual persons, incidents, and situations is coincidental and accidental. Copyright 2020 Electricity vs. Fire, LLC. All rights reserved. Audio description by Descriptive Video Works.
Red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.